Rave Radio. Gary Kay's Almost Daily Rants and Raves.
The Week.
The Women in AV Wavecast.
Green AV.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Joel Rollins, and this is The Week on Rave Radio. Thanks a lot for stopping by to join us. It was a bit of a long holiday break for me this year, and we're going to kick off 2014 with a great show. This week, after the news, we'll be talking with Rave friend and colleague Paul Depperschmidt of Cisco about the unified communications market, Cisco itself, and what the new requirements are for an AV integrator in a network world. Paul is a longtime Infocom Institute teacher, and he's a widely experienced expert on bridging the gap between telecommunications and AV. And I think you'll all enjoy listening to his viewpoint on the market. Anyway, we'll be doing that in just a few minutes. In the meantime, let me remind you that The Week is brought to you by Hypersign, who make a really innovative product line for digital signage. You can find out more about their unique signage solution at www.hypersign.com. And The Week is also brought to you by Atlas Sound, who make a big variety of audio product for all the needs for us in the AV industry, and more about them can be found at www.atlassound.com. But listen, while you're here on Rave Radio, listen to our other podcasts like the Green AV Podcast, AV Insider, the Wavecast from Women in AV, and Gary Kay's Almost Daily Rants and Raves. You can find them all at www.ravepubs.com and on iTunes. Here on The Week, we try to address the most important items we see in AV news for the week, and we bring you a range of guests for a conversation about subjects important to our industry. And so, without further ado, let's talk about what's going on in the world of AV. Well, since we're going to be talking about unified communications today, before we get to this week's news, here's a look at what was news. On January 6, 1838, Samuel Morse demonstrated the telegraph system for the first time. The demo took place at the Speedwell Ironworks in Morristown, New Jersey. The telegraph revolutionized long-distance communication in the 19th century, and although later technologies replaced the telegraph by the early 20th century, Morse code and its later variations live on, because the principle of representing a character with an electrical impulse, well, you get the picture. Anyway, that was then, and this is now. And right now, that means CES in Las Vegas. And you can watch ravepubs.com for news from CES that affects our industry. In the world of breaking news, Clear One has agreed to buy cloud collaboration company Spontanea from Spain-based Dialcom Networks SL in an all-cash deal for 3.65 million euro, which is approximately 5 million US dollars. Spontanea is a software-based cloud collaboration solution that combines video conferencing and web conferencing into a single enterprise solution that can scale to 10,000 plus users. This will expand Clear One's video conferencing offerings by adding subscription-based SaaS and PaaS to its existing hardware-based solutions. Spontanea enables real-time video and voice conferencing, presence and instant messaging, as well as advanced collaboration services, including the ability to share interactive whiteboard, media files, and presentations. Designed to be flexible, Spontanea is interoperable with other standards-based conferencing and communication platforms and runs on multiple platforms and devices, including Android and iOS for smartphones and tablets, and on PC platforms such as Windows, Linux, and Mac. The acquisition is expected to close by the end of the first quarter of 2014, pending regulatory approvals since Clear One is a public company. From Samsung comes the announcement that it has added finger gesture technology to its smart TV lineup. The technology will allow users to use finger gestures alone to choose a program, change the channel, adjust the volume, go back to a previous screen, or stop a video. Samsung also announced that its existing voice control, available in 11 countries, will be expanded to 12 additional markets. Does anyone out there remember when we actually had to get up to change the channel? Now we can do it with a single finger gesture. Leave behind the tiresome pushing of buttons on a remote control. Anyway, watch for this one, because obviously alternative control systems are going to expand. I'm looking forward to ISE 2014, since it's been announced that Dr. Dirk Schlesinger, the global lead for manufacturing industries of Cisco Consulting Services, will present the opening keynote address. Schlesinger's address, Kickstarting the Market for Building Automation, will give attendees an exclusive insight into how a new cross-industry initiative set up by Cisco, ABB, Bosch, and LG will transform the world of smart building technology by offering a common standard for data exchange across multiple appliances and disciplines. The initiative is planning a mid-2015 launch across Europe, with the platform being made available to developers in 2014. The ISE 2014 exhibition is slated for February 4th through 6th at the Amsterdam RAI. The keynote will take place at 6 p.m. on Monday, February 3rd, and ISE's opening reception will follow. See you there. Both are free for all registered attendees of ISE. Visit www.iseeurope.org to register. Back in December, Crestron celebrated the opening of its new Experience Center in Flower Mound, Texas, with more than 150 guests that included Crestron dealers, vendor partners, media, and local government officials. The Southwest Texas location adds another showcase facility to the lineup of nationwide Crestron Experience Centers and design showrooms. Crestron Experience Centers are the ideal setting for customers, dealers, designers, and architects to experience cutting-edge Crestron technology in a fully immersive environment. Crestron believes that to fully appreciate commercial building control and home automation, you have to see it for yourself. The new Experience Center offers guests an up-close and personal, behind-the-scenes look at the hottest control technology solutions on the market. In other news, social media meets digital signage as Tightrope Media Systems has announced a new software release for its Carousel digital signage platform, giving its customers new tools and enhancements that keep content fresh and enrich its visual appeal. The Carousel 6.4 software release supports direct Twitter and Facebook integration, simplifying how operators access and subsequently incorporate social media feeds into signage layouts. This native connection, achieved via a simple login process, also better organizes social media integration so that content remains timely. Visit Tightrope Media Systems at www.trms.com. And that's all the news for today. Anyway, you can find out more as news breaks on this and many other stories at www.ravepubs.com. And now, let's move along with our interview for this week. Okay, folks, as I mentioned at the top of the show, with me today is Paul Depperschmidt with Cisco, Paul's longtime colleague, fellow Institute instructor. Paul, thanks for being with us today.
Well, welcome. Good to be here. Thanks.
So 4 years for you with Cisco now. Obviously, I remember your time with Polycom, and you've taken on a role at Global Collaboration Video Enablement at Cisco, which we're going to get right into. Paul, what is it that you do?
Yeah, what is that? Well, it's been quite a journey, as you can imagine. Actually, I came in with Tanberg, and as with Tanberg only for 3 months when we actually got the announcement that we were going to be acquired. So it's been quite a ride. But in Cisco for the last few years, I came in at Tanberg, leading distribution for the United States, and then moved over to a kind of an AV role, which would be globally trying to kind of make sure that we keep contact with that world and we make sure that we're visible and meet the needs and things like that. So did the best I could as a single person around the world. But about 3 months ago, I moved into a team that's called Collaboration Enablement, well, in particular, enablement and mid-market collaboration. And what that means really is a group that specifically was kind of focused on something we call the BE6000, which is kind of a central core product that allows you to do collaboration, whether voice, video, instant message, all that through kind of a single solution. And that team had been focused on that for the last year or so. I've been, and they came mainly from the telephony side, which is kind of important to note. When I came into this team, I was brought in more as a video person. And so kind of molding those two worlds is where I fit. And so our goal or our role for our team is enablement for partners, for our salespeople within Cisco, to help everyone make essentially the transition to using a call center type of system versus what would be the kind of the video island, if you will, you know, which is where we've been for the longest time. We had video systems that were very much dedicated and siloed, and now we're trying to move that into a much more connected, full collaboration, full UC world. And so we're no longer talking about it, we're doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. And we were talking a little bit earlier about the fact that people ask when the merger of IT and AV is going to happen, and I keep saying look in the rearview mirror. I'll fill the audience in on how this conversation came about. I was tackling and integrating some video systems into a cloud-based CUCM telephony system and called Paul for some assistance. We got talking about the future of the UC market and what his role in, and I thought it would be interested to everybody else here. Just as a background, Paul, we were talking just a few months ago to an old colleague of yours, Jim Smith.
I heard the presentation. It was very good.
Jim and I, one of the things that we hit on was that we think that there are some philosophical differences between the manufacturers on the direction of UC and the integration of video into UC.
Yeah, most definitely. And I think it's not to say one's better or worse. They are just different in how you're going about it.
How do you see Cisco's position on that?
Well, Cisco has gone about it from the very beginning, I think, to put it all under a tent. And one of the things, if you ever worked for a major manufacturer before, you see this, it's very difficult to get things done even within your own company without having to rely on, you know, other companies to kind of fulfill your destiny and fulfill all your efforts and where you move. So we at Cisco have kind of pulled it all into one camp. And even then, it's difficult. It's not easy to pull WebEx together with voice, together with video, together with Jabber, with all those kind of things. It's a monumental task.
It's a big
pull
tent.
It all together. But it's a big tent. And everyone knows Cisco as the network, you know, and so we have that capability, the underlying network, but we also are putting together all the parts and pieces that allow you to run collaboration on that network and tie it together. So we're going at it from, we're going to create it all kind of in our world, in our tents. Not to say we do it completely alone, because we require software and people doing kind of third-party companies doing a lot of things that help us get where we need to go. But primarily, it's under our control. Whereas you see other companies trying to go it with a little bit more of a partnership-based. Much, I think, you know, you could probably describe Microsoft doing it a little bit more that way.
Sure.
Where they're not bringing everything in-house, at least now they might in the future, but they're relying on other people to kind of fulfill everything they need. Does
sure.
that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does make sense. And it is, you know, the differences are, you know, in terms of the way the companies are approaching it are definitely there. One of the things that I was interested in talking to you about is Cisco is, to my knowledge, by far the largest company directly involved in the AV market, that sees an AV market.
Right.
You know, when Cisco purchased Tandberg, people mm-hmm. were talking about, you know, okay, another big company in our industry. I said, no, not another big company, because in terms yeah. of scale, I worked for Extron, and yeah. Extron, large company in the AV industry, and yet Extron was also a company in which I could walk next door to Andrew's office and talk to the CEO. So we're a small company compared to
right.
Cisco. I mean, one of the reasons I contacted you last week was, I'm amazed at the breadth of what Cisco has available as technical information for us as integrators, but it is daunting sometimes to find it because there's so much of it.
Yeah.
And it, how's that adjustment been for you?
It's been difficult in that, you know, again, you look at the Cisco website and it's huge, and you can go in so many directions. The kind of products that we represent and the kind of solutions that we represent are everywhere, and almost everything when it comes to network. So it can be difficult. And so that's one of the things I did with the AV space was I tried to kind of carve out those spots that you want to know about and kind of put them on a cheat sheet, things like that, where it's here's the places you're probably interested in where you want to go. But otherwise, it can be difficult. Now, we do have places for, say, consultants. And we have a consultant program that's Cisco-wide. This is a monster of a thing. And I know Fran Blackburn, who runs that, does a great job with it. But it's kind of a central place you can touch for a consultant, for instance, and be able to then get where you need to go within Cisco. So if you can find those types of things within Cisco, and I've kind of filled that role in AV a lot of the times, people call me, they've known me for years, and say, I'm having trouble getting this done or that accomplished, and I'll try to find the spot. And try it. The one thing that's great about Cisco, I think was one of the things that really helped my transition, is the database as far as our company and our human resources and the people. I can actually search quickly, and within seconds sometimes, I can find the person that, for instance, is in charge of or working with AVB within Cisco, which is really a big help. I can see who they report to. I can see their pictures. I can see where they live. All of that can be found pretty quickly if I know what to look for. It was very, very impressive.
That is impressive, and that shows some network capability, certainly.
A little bit, yeah, exactly.
Listen, I was part of an online WebEx that you did the other day. One of the things that you were going through was a program that you're working on for AV integrators. Can you tell us a little about that?
Yeah, this is something actually that's been working for a while now, and this is something that actually at ISE, three, four years ago, I think it was, when I was first asked to look at the AV space and said, what do we need to do? How do we need to structure it? It became pretty clear that it's a global thing. I mean, when you're talking about deploying video, by definition, it's not all going to be in the same place. And so we needed to think in terms of a company deploying video in Russia and Singapore and in Detroit and, all through these places and say, if we were to do that, do we have the AV integrators that we can turn to, that we can hand things over to them and be pretty safe that the system's going to go in well and go in properly? And frankly, when I came back after looking around, not so much in the U.S., frankly, but in Europe, they didn't have things that you could latch onto like Infocom CTS training or things like that. And so I found that there was no cohesive processes, even knowledge levels and things between the partners and between these AV integrators. So I said, that's one thing we could probably try to help with. And so we created a program called the AV Integrator Accreditation System. It's not certification because we don't test anyone. We're not doing any training or anything like that. We're just saying if you agree to meet certain best practices within the AV industry, then it would be best for us to try to drive business that way if we can, because we know that it's going to go in right. We're going to look good. Everyone, our client's going to be happy. So it's in everybody's best interest to find those best integrators.
Then as a business side note, I want to make sure I wind up on that list.
Right. But then the question would be, okay, well, how do you quantify an AV integrator to say that they're doing the right thing? And that's where it really got interesting. It was, okay, so how do you look at it? And I would ask people in Europe, for instance, so, well, how do you rate yourself? How do you measure yourself against the others? Well, we're really good. Well, that doesn't help me.
Right, yeah.
What is it that you do that's different than the others? And I found there was nothing cohesive. There was nothing that went across, across the lines that everybody adhered to. And that's part of the thing. It's part of what's holding the AV industry back, frankly. When I see now the network world and all that, is that commonality, that best practice, that you can expect them to do things a certain way, doesn't exist very much in the AV space. We're still kind of Wild West. And
sure.
We're still kind of doing things. The guy that was behind me taught me how to do this. So again, what we tried to do was to get in and say, if you meet these things, and what I found, Mario Maltese,
sure,
and the AQAV and AV9000, at the time that was ready to go, and it actually fit what we needed, which was some way of verifying at the end of a project that you've checked these things, and not just that I've checked the video and made sure it's working, that I've checked it to certain parameters, and that I've checked to audio to certain metrics and parameters. And so that when I leave, I don't go back. And that's one of the things that we tried to institute with Cisco. And so we said, rather than us try to tell the AV space how to do it, We're going to take something from the AV space, apply it, and say, if you do this and agree to do this on a regular basis, we'll put a Cisco badge on you, and we'll say that you meet certain requirements, which you then can take to the IT world and show them, Cisco says, I'm good at this.
So are you working directly with Mario's group on that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
And so he very, very graciously allowed us to use the AV9000 subset. It's not the full AV9000 treatment, but what we ask, for instance, in one of the sections is, if you do six of these verification checklists, and it goes through basic stuff that most any AV integrator would do anyway, do six of those, send me a copy, show me that you've done it, and that moves you to the second level. And so that's the kind of thing we're looking for. As a matter of fact, this is one thing, it'll be worth the price of admission for the radio show today. There's a free application on an iPad, iPhone, and even on Android that you can pull down. It's called iAuditor, and that's with an I, auditor. It's find it in the in the App Store and pull it down. It's by a company called Safety Culture out of Australia, actually. I don't even know these guys. It's not a Cisco thing. It's not an Infocom thing, not an AQAV thing. It's free. But when you get to it, go into the library and search for either Infocom or AQAV and pull down essentially what is already pre-built, these verification checklists.
Wow.
A standard where, you know, you can actually go down through it, and as you check for, like, the background audio in a room system, for instance, you know, it should be at, you know, below 40 dB, something like that. And it would say, if it's yes, you press this button and it turns green. If it's no, it opens up another checklist and said, why not? You know, what's the problem? And then you can actually do things like take your iPad and take a picture of the back of the rack or the room or the mounting of the projector. And it all just kind of magically goes into this one thing. At the very end, you can say export. And when you export it in, like, in a PDF or something like that, it instantly makes you a report that looks fantastic. And you just email it. So
it is.
It's, and most people that have seen this have gone, you know, I'll do this regardless of any other system.
Sure. But and for those of you who are listening, we're going to have then, if you're listening on the Rave site, you'll find the link to the program right below the window that you're looking at Paul and I in. And for those of you who are on iTunes, you can check it out on the App Store.
Right. Now, I'm going to move to Infocom for a minute, because what we started years ago, and knowing that Infocom really didn't have the same type of thing that AQAV and AV9000 had, as far as a process that you could work through immediately, but everyone knew that it was necessary. And so Infocom, over the last year plus, there's been a group of us, frankly, I've been on the standards board, or the standards group, that now has ANSI approval and an ANSI standard for a verification checklist that follows that same process. And so that has just been approved as of, like, before, right before Christmas, actually. And so this is something we hope, it's kind of a framework, if you will, in that it doesn't have all the metrics in it. Someone is going to have to do that, but it gives you all the things you better check before you leave a project. And then you can decide which parts and pieces you want to use. So we have a guidebook that we're still working on that will come in behind that and be able to actually provide some guidance to the ANSI standard, but definitely check that one out as well. And it all rolls together. This is all kind of going down the same path, which is the AV industry on its own needs to say, here's our best practices and standards. And if we set that bar, if we say, here's what it should mean to be in the AV industry, you should expect this from any AV integrator anywhere in the world. If we can set that bar, we can control our destiny a little better in the AV space. So that's what it's there for.
Yes, because sometimes I feel like we're the tail being wagged by the dog.
Exactly. And when you think about it from an AV integrator standpoint, you can tell an IT manager or that person involved in that process, this is what you should do in the AV space. But it's not based on anything that the industry says. It's kind of just, here's what I say. And so what we're trying to give is something you can stand on to say, this is what the industry says you should do, which should have a lot more meaning. And so we could see someone giving this the Infocom checklist or the AQAV checklist to a client and say, this is what you should expect. This is what you will get from us. Check that with your other integrators and make sure they're doing the same. And it's basic stuff. It's not product specific at all. It's completely generic. And it'll apply to essentially any project that anyone's doing out there.
Yeah, that's an interesting, and there's an interesting turnabout now in the industry, I think, and one of my last articles was about this, which is in the age of everything from digital publishing to social media, one of the things that's changing in management attitudes are to more open standards and systems. For too long, the AV industry has been, well, my process is secret, and we don't want our competitors to find out about it at all. Now, it's not as, they're not asking to see your results yet. They're asking to see your process.
Right.
And that becomes an important, you know, in a world of collaboration, that's an important part of teams in different disciplines collaborating together, is that their processes be open and defined.
Right. And we're behind in the AV space. I think every industry goes through this. And from what, one of the things that's been interesting in being part of Cisco is I get some history from the way that the voice world operated during its early days of VoIP and going to the network, or even the network IT world. Everybody goes through this. And at first, it is Wild West. It is kind of a, you know, seat of your pants, and it's the magic that you have as an individual company that sets you apart. Then everybody evolves into saying there are certain standards and best practices you expect across the board. Everybody should have this. And then your magic comes on top of that.
Right. Then there's the secret sauce. But yeah, the cake itself has to be made of standard stuff.
Right. And that's where Cisco, what we've done is said, we've come in and said, we're not going to tell you what that is, other than we're going to borrow from Infocom and from AQAV and things like that. But we're saying that if you do this, it's in our best interest to try and promote business going to companies like that, that are doing best practices and standards. And so it makes everybody look better. And frankly, you know, this it shouldn't be too big of a shock to people, but I've actually seen projects where we had a codec in a million-dollar conference room, and something went wrong with it. We weren't even involved. We didn't even know what was going on, but they will hold Cisco responsible because we're the biggest throat to choke.
Right, you know, absolutely. And they see your name on it.
Yeah, and so they will say that $1 million, $2 million worth of route switches stuff that you were going to buy, guess what? That's on hold until you get this fixed. So there's definitely a defensive mode for us to assure that the AV process works well and smoothly. And so we're kind of on board with making that work.
That's a real truth from our industry anyway. I can think back to how many problems I've spent an enormous amount of troubleshooting time on, not because it was my problem, but because I didn't want to wind up associated with the problem because it was going on in the same room that I had a system in.
Exactly. Yeah. And so everybody's kind of in this together. And again, I'll tell you from across the fence and straddling both worlds, the AV industry does not have a great reputation within the network world. Hopefully that's not a shock to a lot of people.
That's not a shock at all. I live in it every day. You'll be teaching at ISE again this year, right?
And we're going to, I'll be working with a class that's going to talk about the new verification standard. But that, other than that, no.
I'm going to be there. I was just going to invite you to lunch. Anyway, how do you see cloud-based services affecting hardware?
Okay, some of this is going to just be my conjecture here, but I don't think you'll see hardware, even if it's low cost, going away from the conference room. I still think there's going to be something there. There almost has to be.
Sure.
Some type of codec device with hardware in it is probably going to always be there. And strictly because it's just, If people aren't looking after it every day and it's not owned by an individual person, it's owned by the kind of the room itself, you need to have something that's really just going to stay there and do its job and not have to worry about people messing with it or doing something strange to it that causes it not to work, which we've seen in our past. You know, we've seen that in years past with other manufacturers and other products. So I think that'll retain itself. But a lot of the functionality can move to the cloud. So I think you'll see some things happening there. I mean, I can't do forward-looking things for Cisco or anything like that. And frankly, I don't know. which is probably a good thing. So I'm not giving any forward-looking information here, but just logic tells you that a lot of what the functionality is going to move to the cloud. There's no doubt.
Sure. You know, I was one of the things that obviously has been, you know, a big bearing in our business for the last year and a half has been the people moving to fuller collaboration environments like WebEx or GoToMeeting. Yeah. Do you see collaboration like WebEx eventually displacing what we think of as a video call?
Oh,
that's a crystal ball question. I recognize probably.
Yeah. And I would say displacing, you know, the room-based system, probably not. But I think to your point, this should all disappear, that you shouldn't have to worry about what format you're in. So for instance, within Cisco, we do our best to eat our own dog food and really try to use the technology that we sell and try to test it, frankly, inside. And so you'll find people, you know, when you have a conference call, it'll be whatever works for you. And so I've been, in some cases, EX90 on my desk. You know, that's the hard base system sitting there. Other times it's a WebEx with a video call. Other times it's my iPad. Sometimes it's my iPhone. You know, I have to do it in an airport or I'm in a car or something like that. But I'm still on the call. I'm doing it my way.
But one of the things that I was talking to Jim about when we had Jim on the thing last was the place that things like Skype are taking in the market. And it's funny because I have competitors who are traditional AV integrators who poo-poo it. Like, you know, it's just PC basic and never. But it does have a place.
Oh, sure.
Do you think that that's pushing us along in the AV market?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, not just in the AV market, but much bigger than that. I mean, it's moving the collaboration market. And I think there's some of a generational thing going on here as well, that there will come a time when my daughter, for instance, is just going to, you know, is in college right now, and people, you know, of that age are going to get to the point where they're going to go, what do you mean you don't have conferencing in this room? You know, what are you, nuts? You know, they've been using video and FaceTime and Skype and, you know, any of those kinds of things for so long. They don't even think about it. You know, it's just supposed to be there.
Well, I have two remaining questions for you since we're going to run out of time. One is, this is a great conversation, so can I count on getting you back on the show?
Yeah, I'd love to.
And the other question, I guess, you know, as kind of a final, is, you know, from where you sit, if you were to tell an AV dealer to go out tomorrow and do something, what is it?
I would say figure out what you want to be as you move forward. And I think we talked about it a little earlier. I kind of move from you're going to go out of business if you don't do X to you got to figure out what you want to be when we move forward. So I think as an AV integrator, you can play as what I call as a collaboration key partner. And that collaboration key partner is going to be the throttle that goes on the network. So the IT manager is going to look to this partner to say, all of this stuff that's going to go on my network, I need you to manage it. And that would be video, that would be voice, that would be instant message, that'd be present, that'd be mobile, that would be digital signage. All the stuff that goes in this network, I need a throat to choke, and I want a partner who can do that for me. Now, that could be an AV integrator, but most AV integrators are going to have to really fight to get in that position. They've got a lot of competition with what those folks that have been in the network world and all that. But there's not very few companies in the world, I can almost count them on two hands, that have all of that capability in-house. Almost none of them do. You know, everything. So I would say decide, do I want to be that, you know, as an AV integrator? Do I want to be in that key position to where I sit at the table controlling what goes on the network and moving into the full collaboration deployments? Or do I just want to be really good at AV? Which means the environment, which means the, you know, which is the analog world, which is our eyes, our ears, and our touch, which is always going to be there as long as there's humans involved. So do I want to be really good at that? In which case I will be maybe a contractor, maybe a little bit more of a niche player, but I'll still be in business. Or do I want to play in the bigger world? But I think you're going to have to choose. I don't think there's a middle.
I think at the very minimum, you're going to have to broaden your definition of what it means to be an AV integrator. And we've really enjoyed having you today. Thanks a lot.
Very good. Thanks very much.
That's all we have time for. But join us again next episode here on The Week on Rave Radio. And don't forget, there's lots more to listen to in our other podcasts on Rave Radio. Check them all out at www.ravepubs.com and on iTunes. And thanks once again to our sponsors, Atlas Sound and Hypersign, for helping us bring you this show. Check out some great stuff at www.hypersign.com and www.atlassound.com. And thanks for listening to Rave Radio. I'm Joel Rollins, wishing you a great week ahead.